Welcome to the Deuce Podcast. I'm Brad.
I'm Jeremy.
And we are doing episode 60, Jeremy.
Is it seriously?
It is seriously 60. This episode could be a Walmart greeter. That's how old it is. Okay, that doesn't really make sense.
Be a little young
anyway,
for a Walmart greeter.
It's probably pretty young to be a Walmart greeter. Anyway, we are doing episode 60, our new series, which are Pixar, Disney, animated movies.
Yep, right? And we have a basically we're going to show four Pixar movies. Four Pixar sequels.
Well, we're not
going to
show. It's a podcast, Jeremy.
Well, yeah, we're going to review.
Yeah, okay.
We're going to review four Pixar sequels that have come out. And the timing is set around our big thing is we're going to conclude or somewhere in there. We're going to do The Incredibles 2.
We are?
So, yeah.
Ugh.
It'll be
okay, I guess.
The Incredibles, one of my favorite movies.
You
of
love
all
the
time.
Incredibles.
I love The Incredibles. And
we found new Incredibles Pez dispensers.
We did
in
for
Ohio.
Incredibles 2.
Yeah.
And so we're planning on reviewing it. It'll be the newest, most fresh review we've ever done. For a movie, we've come pretty close on some things, but this will be the freshest.
Fresh.
The
Eat
deuce.
Fresh.
The fresh maker.
Fresh. We're gonna drop a fresh deuce.
It'll still be warm.
But episode 60. Yeah, thanks. Episode 60. We're gonna start off with Toy Story 2. We're gonna go big. We're starting with Toy Story 2.
Might
as well start big.
It was the first Pixar sequel.
It was the first Pixar sequel, wasn't it?
Yeah.
From the successful movie Toy Story 1.
Yes.
In case you didn't know.
Yeah. So.
Starring the talents of Tom Hanks and Tim Allen.
Yeah.
Again.
And so this movie.
Now they are going to make a fourth one, right?
They are. They're.
2020, something like
something
that.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
So this movie, to me, has a huge impact. On just how Pixar has operated and where we are now, some of the technological leaps they took and some of the just kind of how their studio was built for this movie.
Yeah.
It was huge.
This is the same director as the first one.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy also directed and wrote, Bug's Life and kind of the Cars movies.
John Lasseter.
Yeah, which makes sense because I feel like out of the Pixar movies, those movies kind of are kind of not in the same universe, but kind of feel like they are.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yep. Well, Bug's Life is, if you think about it.
Yeah, Bug's Life is.
But
and actually, all of them are kind of in the same universe at some point. So.
Yeah.
Well, a few things about this movie. So, this really kind of established. So, obviously, Pixar and Disney had partnered up by this time. Pixar had been around for a long time.
That's true. Yeah,
working on other things. They helped with, or they contributed effects to like young Sherlock Holmes. We talked about. In Westworld.
Future World.
Yeah, they're. Predecessors kind of did some stuff there, like people from their teams.
Mm-hmm.
They worked on The Nightmare Before Christmas. I mean, there's all sorts of things they've contributed throughout history. But a few things happened here. So Toy Story was such a huge success that they immediately started talking about Toy Story 2.
Immediately.
They did.
They weren't even like... out of the theater, they're like Toy Story 2.
The weekend was the first weekend of it was so huge that
they
started talks right away, and they were talking about it being a direct video sequel, which that's kind of Disney's MO. They don't really do sequels that much in theater with like cartoons.
At least they used to not.
No, they didn't in the past, and you can still see that even with some of their properties where it's like, you know, you'll get like. Oh, it's Sleeping Beauty 2, which doesn't come to theaters. It just comes to direct-to-video release. Or
The Little Mermaid 2.
Yeah. Yeah, they were all direct-to-video things. And so that's
Lion
the
King
way.
Lion King 2.5.
Yeah, that's the way they originally were intending for this to be. It was going to be direct-to-video.
Candle Shoe, the left one. I just made that up.
Can you really? Did you? Up?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Somebody came up and said, "What if we actually put this out in theaters? Like, it's popular enough that we can do this." And so they were like, "Oh, we need to really step up our game, and we have to put out this product." And so the bulk of the Pixar, like this, the core group who had worked on Toy Story, were working on Bug's Life. And like back then, they could only do one thing at a time because they only had so many resources. And so they were like, well, how the hell are we going to make this other movie? We won't be able to start on it until Bug's Life. And so what they did was they said, well, let's expand. And so they opened up kind of like this little satellite office that was like across the street from them. And they brought on a bunch of young, like new people who were getting into computer animation. And they were kind of, that's how Pixar expanded and built into the studio that's able to do multiple films at one point in time. Like, they have these going now because it became like this, that's how they built the industry.
Is that where Brad Bird came from?
Yeah, Brad Bird was part of those. It was actually interesting because originally the thought was, if it was going direct to video, their thought was, well, we'll take just the same framework animation stuff from the first movie and just recycle it. It'll be quick. It'll be easy. It's just direct to video, whatever. But now that it was going to be a feature film, they're like, oh, shit, what are we going to do? So they gave the framework to these young people and said, well, here's what you have. But, like, you guys are, you know, you're coming up in this. You have your own things that you're working on, like, things you want to try. Like, go out on the limb a little bit. And that's why, like, it kind of takes a leap. So Toy Story, like, we look at it now and you're just like, ooh, especially with, like, the humans, it's a little rough.
Oh, yeah. But when I first saw this in the movie theater, I was blown away.
Oh, I was too.
You know, it was just eye candy for, like, you know, wow, how do they do that? Where do they give the detail of that?
Yeah, I remember thinking, like, wow, those models look so great. But then when you go back, you're like, well, Andy looks just like the kid from next door, just with different detail.
Yeah.
Like, it looks, the people look weird.
The people do look weird.
And their hands are weird, their arms are weird. Like, it's just, it doesn't, it's not what you are used to now or what you remember it differently. And then they had Bug's Life, which were doing different things, but it was still kind of that same level of animation. Like, if you look at Bug's Life, which I haven't seen it for a while, but last time I watched it, I was like, wow, that's herky-jerkier than I remember. You know, you could tell that it was still in its infancy. But Toy Story 2 started stepping things up. So, like, the models on the people are the same. They still have that same awkwardness to them, but you're starting to see texture on the skin. You're starting to see, like, 5 o'clock shadow and some other things that are really kind of changing the people.
Yeah.
And you see things like the dog, Andy's dog has hair, as fur, obviously, but you can see, like, each individual little fur. Or carpet textures, because these people were trying new things, and it really pushed forward the innovation of the, you know, the CGI as a medium. So this movie, to me, did a whole bunch of things. It made, you know, these animated sequels a viable,
profitable.
Yeah, like whereas Disney kind of was oriented. Like, well, they're just cash grabs. Now they're a lot more like, well, hey, maybe these are things that we could tell another good story. And it really helped to both expand the digital animation industry and really helped to push forward the innovation in that industry.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So if I were to give a name to Pixar, I would call them, like, I wouldn't call them phonies at all. Would you? I would call them no phonies. And what a great transition, Jeremy. I'm so full of great transitions today.
We are?
Because we are part of the No Phony Podcast.
It's very true.
It's very true. And we have wonderful podcasts on that network.
We do.
Correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And why don't we play some of those promos, shall
we? Let's do it.
Yeah. So after these messages, we'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Do you want to listen to the best podcast of all time? Cool. So do I. You can do that or you can listen to us. I'm J-Ray, and this is my bitch-ass sidekick.
Loop Dog.
You going to say the rest? L-double-O-P.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, I mean, go ahead.
Well,
we're already here. We're already here, bitch. Go ahead and say it.
Over,
no, just do it.
Out,
right? I don't want to fucking start
Loop
over.
Loop Dog, L-double-O-P-D-O-double-G. That's me. That's right.
And we are Politics with Dummies, a podcast on the No Phony Podcast Network at nophonynetwork.com. Look for us. We be everywhere.
That's right. It's your shit host, Chris, from Between the Profound and the Profane, a comedy podcast. From thebonushours.com. Between the Profound and the Profane, where lifelong friends gather together to trade friendly stories, give friendly advice, and try to learn something new about their friends. And while we're at it, maybe make some new friends. So if you would like to be a new friend, why don't you jog on over to thebonushours.com and get you a heavy dose of what we call Between the Profound and the Profane, part of the No Phony Podcast Network, found at nophonynetwork.com.
And we're back.
And we're back.
Okay.
I just wanted to get that out there.
Yes.
You know?
I'm glad you did.
Right.
They
don't call me smooth for nothing.
No.
My transitions are great.
Old Bradley Segway.
Segway, yeah.
BS, that's what they call you.
It's true, they do. BS Bradley Segway. Yeah. I do that while I'm riding a Segway, too.
Yes.
Yes.
Make segues while riding a segue.
Yes, I always do.
You just ride up into conversations.
And I do.
Transition it to something else.
I do.
They weren't even done talking. You just change the subject.
They're talking about the weather, and I'm like, speaking of candy corn.
And then drive away.
And then drive away.
You're like Johnny Appleseed of segues.
I am. I am, except less weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wouldn't take much.
I digress. Because I was digressing there, not segueing into what we're doing. But why don't we drop the deuce?
Yes.
Just like Johnny Appleseed would drop apple seeds, right, into the ground. I'm trying to... Anyway, go ahead. Drop the deuce.
Okay. Let's drop it.
Let's so, drop it.
Drop it.
Just like Johnny Appleseed would drop. Oh, no. Go
drop ahead. It like it's hot.
No? Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
So...
Just like I dropped that joke.
Dropped it hard. our movie opens up with we get to see Buzz Lightyear making his way through this castle. You get that he's fighting all these like space robots and it just is kind of adventuring whatever adventure he's going through. And it's got a lot of good detail. You see more reflective metals. You see, like, granular kind of, like, little rocks. You see interesting details. He makes his way through and kind of sneaks. He finds his way into a, like, a fort or something like that or, like, a evil castle. We realize he's going after the evil Emperor Zurg.
Zurg.
Yes, not to be confused with Zorg from Zorg. The Fifth Element.
Right, from the Fifth... Oh, from the Fifth Element, Zorg, yeah.
Jean-Baptiste Emmanuel Zorg.
Yes, yeah. And not to be confused with Zod, right?
Correct, from Superman.
From Superman, or not to be confused with Zoot.
Correct.
From something else.
Yes. He's a riot. You see Buzz Lightyear finally makes it into this central chamber where he's going to grab the thing that powers Zurg's castle.
Right. And that would be conservatism because it's Tim Allen. Right?
No, that's what he wanted that.
Fox
was...
News.
What?
No, I was just trying to.
No. Okay. So he goes and it's actually just, it looks like a battery. Well, he goes to grab it and it's just a hologram. And he gets into this, at that point, Zurg shows up. We finally see Zurg.
Yes.
Outside of just the commercial.
Yeah.
He looks
a lot like Sean Hannity, right?
Yes. Except, you know, less scary.
Less scary. Yeah, that's true. And less rubbery.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, Lord Zurg's less evil than, yeah. Mm. Anyway, but
that's true.
He's less villainous, how about we put it that way. Buzz is fighting him, and he's jumping around, they're firing at each other. He throws these discs at him and hits him. He does this like grand flip over him, and Zurg just blasts Buzz, and all that's left of him is like his legs.
Yeah.
And then we realize it's a video game.
Yeah, we pull out it's a video game that
the thing that
T-Rex and Buzz are playing.
Yeah, and so Rex is playing it. Rex, who's voiced by Wallace Shawn. Inconceivable. He's
I was going to say Rex Tillerson, but I was taking a drink of water. But yeah, no, it's inconceivable.
Yeah,
it's the Clips of Insanity, right? The guy from Andre, My Dinner with Andre.
Yes, yeah. For something less obscure.
First, yeah,
than the Princess Bride.
I'm giving you something less obscure than the Princess Bride.
My Dinner with Andre.
Yeah,
the Grand Negus from Deep Space Nine. There you go. So he's been trying to play this game, and he can never seem to beat Lord Zurg. So he is, all the toys are kind of doing their own thing. They're, you know, checking everything up. Woody is giving instructions to Buzz Lightyear on what to do when he's going to be gone. Apparently, every year... Andy goes to cowboy camp.
I didn't know that was a real thing.
There's a camp for everything.
I guess there is, but cowboy camp?
Yeah.
Like, that's the one he wanted to go to?
It'd be like a 4-H camp, maybe.
Cowboy camp.
Well, sure.
No, what? I'm just saying, cowboy. Like, what do they do besides ride horses? Do they watch John Wayne movies?
Probably camp out and probably
I guess.
Do like things cowboys would
go
do.
Go on trails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he leaves.
I don't know why I was so like vile about cowboy camp.
Well, they got like everything else. They have drama camp. They have, you know, band camp.
Who went to drama camp?
Who? I ask you. Who?
Who? Who? Says the owl.
So
one, two, three, crunch, three licks it takes to get to the center of a tootsie pop.
A one, a two, a three. Anyway,
just do voices the whole time, please.
For the rest of this,
yes,
never,
never, go ahead,
never.
So then Droopy Dog comes in.
And he says, Woody's preparing to go to cowboy camp with Buzz Lightyear. When he tells him, you have to look after the other toys.
Stop.
Okay. So Andy comes in, ready and raring to go for cowboy camp. And his mom tells him... We're leaving in like 15 minutes.
His mom, voiced by Laurie Metcalf.
Laurie Metcalf.
I wonder if she's been in the news. What's she been up to?
I don't know.
In the news lately?
Yeah, I think she's about to inherit a TV show.
Yeah, no.
Well, she says, you know, you got 15 minutes. He goes, 15 minutes, eh? And sets up this elaborate, like, play scenario.
How did that kid do that in 15 minutes?
I don't know. It was pretty intense.
I couldn't there even was, like, tie armies, my shoes in 15 minutes.
There was, like, armies of army men just set up in perfect rows. And, like, he found a little hat for his piggy bank. And,
right. He had a small porno shoot with Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head. Ooh, yeah, they were kissing, weren't they? Was it someone making out with someone else? Was it Barbie or something?
I don't remember.
Oh, Little Bo Peep and
well,
Woody.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Because at first, she was tied up hanging over these elaborate traps.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah,
it was like,
this was very elaborate for 15 minutes.
It was very, for 15 minutes, that kid deserves to go more than cowboy camp.
Yeah, right. So he sets it all up. Of course, it's like, oh, you know, the evil Dr. Ham is going to make sure that Bo Peep either ends up in, like, the monkey pit, which has, like, a Mr. Potato Head torn apart, or into, like, these other things. Like, he's got this elaborate thing. Of course,
so,
Woody saves the day, and Buzz Lightyear helps him, and he says, they're the best of friends, and when he does that, he links their arms and kind of moves them around.
Yeah.
And it pops a stitch in Woody's arm.
Right. And that's important. But I want to go back for a second.
Yeah.
Because they enjoy having Andy play with them, correct?
Yes.
Now, I never got that. Like, I always felt like, wouldn't that annoy you as, like, a toy? Because wouldn't that tickle you as a toy that was, like, that came to life? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I felt like, you know, maybe that would possibly happen. Oh, no, he's going to break me.
Well, but I think because they have that fear in, like, the, like, what you see in Toy Story 3.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
They have that fear.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
But I think it's just how a kid plays with you.
Yeah.
And Andy seems like...
I mean, it's so much love, I guess they, you know.
Yeah, or Sid in the first movie.
Yeah.
Where he's got blowing pieces of them up.
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
Yeah. So it's kind of like...
Ever since I've seen the first one.
Yeah. So it's kind of like... I think that Andy, although he's doing these dramatic things and playing with them, he's also not, like, damaging his toys. Like, you never see him breaking his stuff.
Yeah, I guess so.
You never see him, like, really, you know, ripping them apart or being, like, cruel to anything.
Yeah, I just was like... I find it odd, though. That's just me, though. You know... But that's just me thinking weird.
But I think the whole point, that's a toy's purpose, is to...
Yeah, that's true.
And they're meeting their purpose, and that's what gives
right, and
them...
that's kind of what this movie's about. That's why I kind of brought
yeah.
it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's different than the first one. I mean, this is more like a, you know, not a heist movie, but what kind of one? Like a rescue mission.
Yeah.
But it deals a lot with, like, what their... purposes in the world as toys.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? It deals a lot more with that.
The first movie is more just like scenario based where it's like, hey, here's a situation. New person comes in, old versus new.
Right. And this is more allegories of growing up a little bit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Which they will later learn to sharpen and drive into our hearts.
Yes. That's
in the
what
third
I mean.
Movie.
And just drive into your heart, but
Niagara Falls, Frankie.
I feel
Niagara
like there's
Falls.
More action in this one. Like, this is very... I don't know. It's been a while since I've seen the first one, but...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, of course, while they are... once Woody pops that stitch in his arm, he says, oh, God, his arm broke. And he's like, you know, what are we going to do? And she goes, well... you know, we can see what we can do with him. He goes, well, just leave him. I don't want to, like, break him more at camp. So they just leave Woody there, and his mom puts him on the top shelf. And,
oh, no, not the top shelf.
It is the top shelf.
Yeah.
Where
all the dust happens.
Where
from all the books that Andy doesn't read anymore.
I think, like, nobody goes and looks up there. Andy can't really see up there. So
but again, the
sight,
detail
of
the books, the detail of the dust
yeah.
starts happening a lot more.
And it's great because you can see, like, the impressions in the dust where things have been or, like, where he moved through it. Very good attention to detail. So he gets put up on the shelf, and Andy goes to camp without Woody. So Woody is kind of depressed. He's up there. He's not talking. He's just being very quiet. He later finds out that there's another toy up there. There's a little penguin squeaky toy named Wheezy. And he's had a broken squeaker. He's been trying to call down to people, but they couldn't hear him because his squeaker's broken. And so, he supposedly had been sent to have his squeaker fixed a while ago, but Mom just really put him up on the shelf. And, they're all trying to talk to Woody, trying to figure things out, when they realize that Andy's mom is putting together a yard sale.
A yard sale! No, a yard sale!
So they're all scrambling. They're trying to hide, make sure everybody's okay. And Mom comes through and says,
how many yard sales has she had? Because they are, like, prepared.
Well, I'm sure they've seen other people, do yard sales. And they've probably had them before.
Yeah, I mean, they had to have.
Yeah. Because
they were, like, on top of it.
Yeah, right? And so everybody's kind of getting out of the way, and she's picking up some, like, old books and things like that.
I think this is a great scene, by the way, because it's like the toys are like, oh, my God, is she going to pick me?
Yeah.
She picks up T-Rex, and you think she's going to put T-Rex in the box, but he's standing on, like, some books or whatever.
Yeah. And so
and she pulls those books up.
But, at least she's not, like, getting rid of things that he still uses.
Yeah, she's a good mom.
Yeah. And she's not getting rid of all your He-Man toys because the church told her she was evil or they were evil.
Wow. Okay, we are breaking into some deep.
I just had a breakthrough.
Deep shit.
So she's thinking
that your mom did that.
Oh yeah, she did.
Yeah,
yeah. And she told me I could keep one. And I told her Orko, which, because I knew that would make her the most angry, because that was who I am.
Did she let you keep Orko?
No.
Okay, that's why I got you that Orko thing.
Yeah, that's why you got me Orko, because you knew that, and so you bought me Orko right away.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you're the best.
Oh.
She picks up Wheezy.
Yes. Wheezy, played by Wheezy from The Jeffersons, correct?
Correct. Wheezy from The Jeffersons.
That is all off. Sorry.
It was actually played by somebody named Joe Ranft.
Mm-hmm. Who also played Wheezy on The Jeffersons.
Correct.
Am I right on that? Am I right? No?
I think. Can we get a check on that?
Wheezy is a squeaky toy that...
Yeah. Squeaky penguin.
Yeah, squeaky penguin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That obviously he probably had when he was real little.
Right. I'm like, no one his age plays with squeaky toys.
No.
Anything the dog does.
Yeah. Oh, but Andy does. Andy uses them for all sorts of things. Like, you can tell he cares for his toys. Like, you see things from all ages of his development so far.
Yeah.
That he just uses in other things.
Yeah.
And, like, stuff like, he has Bo Peep, which is like a porcelain doll.
Yeah, think about that. Like, think about all these, like, parents nowadays are like, oh, Target, they're making shelves that are gender neutral. Well, that's stupid. I'm going to boycott them. But here we have a movie that came out, what, 1999?
Yes.
And they're like, we're going to make him here. He's going to have a Bo Peep.
Yeah.
At one time, he has a Barbie, I think.
Yeah, probably. There.
So, like, screw you people.
Yeah.
You know, a kid can have a boy Peep. A boy. So, Disney was doing it, and they were doing it underneath your nose before anyone else.
That's right.
Ha-ha.
Take that.
Seriously, like, no one explains the Bo Peep thing.
No.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's an action figure. It's obviously just like a porcelain doll.
Yeah.
Like a little figure.
But he has it.
Yeah.
Good for you, Andy. Good for you, Andy's mom, Laurie Metcalf.
That's right.
Yes.
So
at one time he has a bird. I think he calls him Lady Bird.
Is it's a Lady Bird Johnson action figure.
It's a Lady Bird Johnson action figure. Correct.
The toy is being sent out. Wheezy with everybody. He says goodbye. You know, I'm off to wherever. And so he gets put in the box.
Squeak. Goodbye.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. And so Woody's like, oh, hell no. And so he calls in the dog, Andy's dog that he got at the end of the first movie that we just kind of see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so he's like, oh, we're going to, he's like, I'm going to ride the dog down there.
Right.
And so the dog helps him get outside.
Now, do we have a time frame about how old this movie is compared to is it real time from the first movie?
Yeah. I think this one's supposed to be real time from the.
Do you know what I mean? Like, Andy's seven and now he's whatever it is that took the time to make this movie. Couple years, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not that much further along.
Yeah, it can't be that much further.
Mm-hmm. And so the dog, of course, it loves the toys. They play with them.
Yeah.
And so
I find really odd, too, because I'm just like, I don't know. I guess the dog can't tell the humans, hey, the toys come to life.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because they won't know, but still, I find that weird.
I get it.
I know, but I'm just a practical thinker sometimes.
Well, okay, so I think if the animals are probably home alone all day.
Right.
With
Macaulay Culkin.
With the toys.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so when the toys are doing that, why wouldn't they all just team up? Yeah. Kind of a Secret Life of Pets.
Speaking of Home Alone, scenario. I heard Macaulay Culkin was up for the voice of Andy. Was that correct?
Was he really?
No, but I wanted to make a segue.
That's what you're best at.
Mm-hmm. Fake news.
Bradley segues.
Fake news BS. Segues.
You're all about the BS.
No, that is not true. I want to let everyone know.
Fake news.
That's fake news.
Fake news? So it's real news?
That's fake news.
So Woody goes to rescue Wheezy. He gets outside, and of course he's riding the dog. He is heading back when he slips and falls off. And so the dog and Wheezy get back inside, and Woody just has to kind of lay there. Some little girl finds him and is like, "Ooh, look at this!" And they said, "You know, can I keep him?" "No, you can't." And they throw him into a box. But when it does that, he makes the sound, like where you do his pull string, like this. There's a snake in my boot.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
And when he does that,
is that one of the phrases?
Yeah.
Okay.
Someone's poisoned the watering hole. Is the other one. So when they do that,
which is what you want a toy to say.
Well, yeah.
You know.
I mean, it was like a heroic Western thing.
They would have where Elmo would talk and he would say perverted things or whatever. Remember those stories that happened in the news where this toy says something terrible.
Well, they
had to recall all of them. Yeah. Those were the days. I missed those news articles.
They replaced Barbie's. They replaced, yeah, what was it, G.I. Joe and Barbie's voice boxes?
Yes.
Somebody swapped them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and people were up in arms about that.
Up in arms.
They're trying to gender confuse our kids.
Yes. You sounded like Mrs. Potato Head.
I did. Because she was a big.
Yeah.
She's a big proponent of that.
And an ice cream cone.
And George.
And a yo-yo. Go ahead.
So when he makes the sound, this guy hears it and turns around. He's like, oh, my God, it's a Woody doll. And only if he had his hand-stitched hat that came with, oh, my God, here it is. So he, puts it together. And he...
Newman.
Speaking
of Seinfeld, Newman.
Yeah, of course.
By Wayne Knight.
Voiced by Wayne Knight.
Yes.
And he he asks if he can buy Woody. And of course, the mom is like, or he tries to just put it in with other things to be like, oh, can I just buy all this junk? And she's like, that Woody doll is not for sale. And so she takes it back, and he's begging and offering her money. So obviously he really wants this thing. And she says no, and puts it in the lockbox with all the money. And so they're like, oh, of course she wasn't going to sell Woody. And everybody inside is relieved about this. Well, the guy causes more trouble. He knocks a bunch of stuff over, and when the mom goes to fix it, he breaks into the lockbox and steals Woody.
A lockbox.
Lockbox. I invented the internet. So, of course, they're
global
all freaking
warming.
Out. Global warming. Melted my toys. So he goes and I'm just waiting for you to.
No, I'm not doing. I don't know any more catchphrases that he would have. I don't know any more catchphrases.
I was trying to think of some too.
I know, right? Like, Al Gore, you're terrible. You don't even have good catchphrases. Your catchphrases are like global warming. Like, that's terrible. You know what I mean?
Just him yelling global warming at people.
Yeah, at least like George W. had like better catchphrases.
You know what I mean? He did. They were more interesting catchphrases.
Yes. No wonder he won. Anyway, go ahead.
So obviously they're all like, holy crap, we got to figure out who took Buzz or took Woody. And of course, Buzz is like, look, I'm going to try to stop him. So he does this daring rescue and is trying to go get Woody out of this car. And he's hanging on the back of the thief's car. He manages to open the trunk. But when he does that, it kind of bounces and knocks him off. And some feathers fly out. And it just drives away.
Right.
And
the feathers float down, which I know that this is a plot device to let them know who took Woody.
Yeah.
But to me, it's Tom Hanks and there's a feather, and that's Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump. And then later, what was it?
The T-Rex.
Slinky.
Oh, the Slinky, yeah.
Says, I may not be a smart dog, but I know what whatever is.
Yes.
Like, says the phrase, and I'm like, that's two Gump references.
Yeah, I mean, they get more meta in this one.
Yeah.
You know, and they start doing that a little bit more.
Agreed.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like Pixar... I really feel like this is where they do, because now a lot of their humor becomes almost too meta in a way. Like, if you're going to complain about the movies, you know, and that's a fraction of what you should complain about, but it almost does become too meta in a way. But this is just the right amount.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, I get that. That's a little bit tongue in cheek right there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So the car drives away, but he catches that it has what seems like a vanity plate.
Yeah.
As it drives away. So they, all the toys are together in Andy's room. Obviously Andy's away, so they kind of have free reign, and they're trying to figure it out. And Buzz is just trying to figure out what that anagram or what the bumper stumper license plate was.
Bam, bam. Bumper Stumpers. Bam, bam.
And then he figures
Canadians' favorite game show, Bumper Stumper. Try to figure out the bumper sticker.
Ooh, left one. Al's Toy Barn.
Left or right one. This one belongs to the Prime Minister of Canada. Bam, bam. Bam, bam. Is it Trump hater? Correct.
Is it War of 1812? So they figure out that, hey, wait, it's that chicken guy we saw on TV. Like, earlier you see a brief shot of him. There's a place called Al's Toy Barn. So they sell toys, a big toy store, kind of like Toys R Us, but barn-themed.
And, I'm sorry, what's Toys R Us?
It is a... with, like, all the blockbusters, they're now extinct. So
sorry, what's a Blockbuster? Oh, it's like all the Sears, but they're it's like all the JCPenney's. All the Borders bookstores.
Oh God.
Mm-hmm.
So
you want me to continue? No, we don't.
It's like Gimbals.
Gimbals.
So they are like, the I know what that Gimbals place is. And so the map comes up on the screen, and the Etch-A-Sketch draws it really fast.
Yeah.
They're really giving the Etch-A-Sketch a lot to do in this one.
You know what? Like, I love that. But also, like, the detail to these boxes of games and, like, the Etch-A-Sketch. And I feel like, wow, they really went all out. And yeah, plus, like, that's like copyrights that you have to pay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, I wonder how much they had to pay for all this.
I think a lot of those...
Because you see Battleship, like Mattel.
Yeah.
I'm sure they had to, like, pay a lot to Mattel and, like, you know, Milton Bradley.
Yeah.
And Mattel. I'm thinking of some Play School, maybe.
Well, if you really think about it, it's kind of like...
The Slinky.
Think about how everybody came together in... everybody came together for Who Framed Roger Rabbit. It's the same, but of toys.
Right.
It's all these companies have stuff out there. And some of those...
And why not? Like, why not be all like, hey, advertisements of your toys?
Yeah.
You know? Like, Etch-A-Sketch probably was all like, yeah, I'm on top of it. No one's buying Etch-A-Sketches.
Right.
Because it's an Etch-A-Sketch.
Because we can do that way easier.
Right. But I love an Etch-A-Sketch.
Yeah, right. And so the Etch-A-Sketch draws us out. It's been doing... Etch-A-Sketch has been doing composite drawings of the thief the whole time.
Yeah.
Based off of the eyewitness descriptions. So it draws this map so that
my
they
favorite
can copy
is when they're
down.
Like, erase that, and you hear that.
It like shakes itself and it goes.
Yeah.
So they decide they are going to go and rescue Woody. So they head out. It's Buzz, Ham, who is played by John Ratzenberger.
Mm-hmm. We forgot. Yeah, John Ratzenberger.
Who is like in
Cliff.
Yeah, who's like yeah,
Cliff
all of these.
Cliff Huxtable.
Yep. When we went to the Pez
Am I the
Museum.
Wrong Cliff? Oh, Cliff.
Yeah, okay, Cliff Clavin. When we went to the
Pez Museum in Orange, Connecticut.
Yeah, they made a special line of, because they already have like a Toy Story Ham.
Well, they have tons of Toy Story.
Yeah, dispensers. They have a Toy Story Ham Pez dispenser, but in order to they wanted to give something special to John Ratzenberger.
Yeah,
and so they made one.
But doesn't he like Pez?
Yeah, it's for each of his characters from every movie he's right. been in with Pixar.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It was pretty crazy. Like, yes. That, they were amazing. I wish they actually had that set to put out. But
to buy?
Yeah, yes. I would buy it in a heartbeat. It was amazing.
And it's just the cover is John Ratzenberger with, like, a beer.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
Yeah.
So, Ham...
Cliff Claiborne, is that his name on
Clavin?
Cheers? Clevin, yeah. I would get, like, a Cheers Pez, but anyway.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I know, right?
Mr. Potato Head, voiced by the late Don Rickles.
Don Rickles yeah. was amazing.
Slinky, the dog.
The late
Jim Varney.
A.K.A. From the Ernest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Movies. The Ernest P. Worrell.
Yeah.
Ernest P. Worrell, whatever yeah. it was. And Rex... voiced again by Wallace Shawn.
Inconceivable.
It's
the cliffs of insanity. From My Dinner with Andre. Everyone knows.
From My Dinner with Andre fame.
Well, you know, we have a target audience of people who know what My Dinner with Andre is, okay?
And we're thankful for that.
Yes.
So, they all head out. Meanwhile...
There's a sequel to that movie, My Nightcap with Andre.
Ooh.
Yeah,
I like where this
just
is
take,
going.
No, drinks.
I like where this is going.
No, like drinks.
Yeah.
You know, and they talk about philosophies.
While they're wearing nightcaps.
Yes. Why they're drinking nightcaps while, you know.
Wearing nightcaps.
Yeah. Correct.
So, at Al's apartment, because he didn't take him to the toy barn. He took him home.
Yeah.
He puts him in a case.
Yeah. I don't know where he lives. Like Trump Tower?
He lives in this giant penthouse in this,
how
like,
much do you make
big building
from that
across the street from the Al's Toy Bar?
How much do you make from that toy, you know, place?
Hey, Christmas holidays and everything else. Like, I'm sure. So Woody learns that he's based off a 1950s television
show.
10 years
later when you go out of business.
He's based on a 1950s television show called Woody's Roundup.
Yeah, Woody's Roundup.
Which is basically like a country, it's like a Howdy Doody.
It's like a Howdy Doody.
Yeah.
Type, because there's
he
like
was a marionette.
They're like marionettes, which I find really odd then, though the toys are not marionettes.
Well,
do you know what I mean?
They just had Howdy Doody toys. Like, you didn't... You
ignored
the strings.
Come on, like, that would be fun to have, like, a marionette toy, don't you think?
I'm sure they
have.
That
would market better?
Yeah.
Just saying.
So.
Then you could play Woody, but, like, a marionette, and you could have your marionette show, like, Punch and Judy.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Well, he finds out, because he's trying to get out, and he hears people moving, and then he realizes it's, there's Jessie, this cowgirl,
right,
with this like red yarn hair, which I always think looks so cool, like in all the movies, that like red yarn hair she has.
Yeah.
Who is voiced by Joan Cusack.
Joan Cusack. Now,
children love Joan Cusack.
Yes. If you're going to get someone in your movie, children, the demographic of children love Joan Cusack. I had a friend whose aunt thought Joan Cusack was John Cusack in drag. But anyway, keep going on what we're doing.
There's also Bullseye, who is a horse.
Yes. Voiced by... good one.
A horse.
A horse, correct. Voiced by Mr. Ed. Okay.
And then Stinky Pete, the prospector, who is played by...
Frasier Crane.
Yes, by Frasier. By...
Kelsey Grammer.
Kelsey Grammer. Thank you. I was like, oh, great. Now I just have Frasier in my head.
Yes.
Another
Cheers
connection.
Toss salads and scrambled eggs.
Another Cheers connection.
Cheers connection. Yeah, you're right. That is true. There's a lot of connections in this.
Yeah.
You have the Seinfeld and the Cheers connections.
Yes.
Yeah, it's true.
And the Forrest Gump.
Where's the Forrest Gump?
I don't know. Anyway.
Was Robin Penwright the horse?
Yes.
Okay.
Sally Field.
Jenny, you're the horse.
Sally Field.
That's true. Yeah.
They're like, oh, you know, finally the collection's together, and something about, you know, they know him, and he goes, how do you know who I am? They're like, from the show.
Yeah.
He goes, what show? And they're like, what are you talking about? And so they play it. He sees like the actual video, he's watching it, and then you see like all these toys and all these other things that are Woody's Roundup based toys. And it's like this whole thing goes off from the, he's like, oh my God, you know, here's this whole world I didn't know. They're going to,
man, it's like the Truman Show, but not.
Correct.
Like reverse Truman Show.
It is. Maybe. Yes.
Yes.
Go
with my madness. It's reverse Truman Show.
Is it, I actually, for a second, I was thinking, when you said Truman Show, I was like, yeah, but I was thinking of The Majestic.
Right. I often quote The Majestic.
Who wouldn't? First Amendment.
Yeah,
rights.
I tell you, I was born on March 23rd. 23. Number 23. I said that, and it's 23 minutes in. No, it's not even close.
Yeah, we're way off.
Yeah.
Basically they're like, well, you know, he's like, this is great. Here's all the stuff. They watch like all the episodes of Woody's Roundup. He's like, this is amazing.
And it's on video. It's on VHS. That's how people had to binge stuff back in the day.
Yes.
They had to make sure it was on television and tape it.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Or find a video cassette box tape.
Yeah.
Which if you go to like Half Price Bookstore, you'll see them because no one's going to buy them. But they're like up on the top shelf and they're longer than your arm.
They're like 4 feet long.
They're like 4 feet long. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And they're collecting dust with Wheezy.
One of my friends had the Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, those are like huge. Box they set. Go forever.
And the ends of them, like are the spines of them, had part of like a picture. And if you got all the things that make one cool. long picture.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like, I miss that with like DVDs, but yeah.
They figure out, you know, he's like, oh man, you know, my friends are going to love you. And they're like, well, you know, we got to get ready because we're going to Tokyo to be in the toy museum.
And a toy museum in Tokyo that I do not know about?
I don't know if it's real or not.
Have not tried to go there?
I don't know because it's in Tokyo.
That's true.
It is very accurate.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I don't know if there's a toy. I'm going to look that up. Go ahead.
Okay. So he says they're going to this, and he goes, I can't. I have to get back to Andy. And, of course, then Stinky Pete basically says they're only interested in this collection if it's complete, which means that if he's not there, the other ones will go back in storage. And Jesse starts freaking out. Apparently, they've just been locked away in the dark for years and years and have only been brought out.
Well, there is one, but it opened in 2008 in a former elementary school. This museum houses toys and games from around the world. So, okay, they're just predicting the future, I guess.
That's what it is. So they... You know, Jesse freaks out. She's mad because...
It's just a bunch of Sudoku puzzles.
That's all I got. And Jax. Nobody wants them anymore. So, Jesse freaks out. And then they're like, okay, we need to... you know, this is what's happening. Sorry. Like, if you leave, we just go back in.
They're excited because they don't want to be in... They're like, I don't want to go back in the darkness.
Yeah.
They don't want to
think about that. That's a creepy freaking
concept. Yeah. Like, I mean, that's a really creepy feeling, you know?
And so...
They don't want to go back in the closet. And no one should have to go back in the closet, Jeremy.
No, they shouldn't. And they
Happy
even...
Happy Pride.
Yeah. Even their show got canceled because Sputnik, because kids got interested in space toys.
How many how many seasons of Woody's Roundup was there? One?
Yeah, I think it was.
Like there was only one season. Yeah, and there was probably. Seven episodes. And like this guy went all like Firefly crazy. But yet they couldn't have been because there was all this merchandise.
But that even happened. That really did happen with a lot of stuff. Like it,
back in the day.
Because the space race changed a lot.
Yeah.
Because that happened with comic books, too.
Yeah.
Westerns were huge, and then, like, it switched to space and, like, espionage and stuff like that.
Yeah, it did. Like, Cold War and all that, yeah.
Yeah, it really changed a lot.
Yeah.
So they realize that Al is coming back, and so they all hurry up and get in their places. Jesse and Bullseye don't want to go back in the box, and, of course, Stinky Pete tells them, you have to. Just, you got to do it. So they go back in.
What's in the box?
Yeah.
What's in the box?
Toys. Anyway, the...
John D's got the upper hand.
So, when Al goes to take Woody and move him, he snags part of the string from his Stitch on, like, the display case. And his arm completely falls off. So Al calls a fixer who's going to repair him.
But, yes, that guy's awesome.
Yeah, but in the meantime, he's got no arm, so he's freaking out. That night, Woody goes to get his arm, but when he gets real close to getting it, the TV turns on and wakes Al up.
Can I, like, this is a fun scene when he drops all the Cheetah Puffs and it almost becomes like mind bombs. Not my mind, but mine bombs. Because he steps on them. Oh, no.
Yeah.
And he has landmine. To, like, that's kind of fun. I like
that. Yeah. And Al's a slob. He drops, like you're saying, the cheese puffs everywhere and he's trying to walk around so he doesn't crunch and wake him up. And then Bullseye is trying to help. And of course, he's just a clod, so he's just trampling on everything. But the TV turns on, and Woody almost doesn't get back into place Al gets him, puts him up there, you know, and takes the arm and walks away. Right. Woody sees that the remote is in front of Jesse and blames her for turning it on. And she's like, what? I didn't do that.
Yeah.
So the fixer comes and the next morning and are basically trying to fix him up. He gives him a fresh coat of paint, touches it all up, fixes his stitches. And the guy is, was it Jerry or Gerald, whatever it is from the, I think it was like, there was a thing called Jerry's Game or something like that. It was a Pixar short.
Oh yeah.
And they just reused the framework from that because they were like, hey, we already got this. Let's just put him in the show.
Yeah.
So you start getting more like crossover
cross
things.
Cross connections with that. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the gang of toys is at the toy store, right?
Yeah, so they, well, right before this,
yeah,
we get to, he gets fixed, and Jesse's pissed, and she goes up and sits at the window.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, he's getting ready to leave.
I'm sorry, I fell asleep during this, sorry.
Yeah, they were, and this is, because this is most one of the most awkward. so, they explain, like, Jesse was talking about that she used to have a kid just like Andy. Her name was Emily, and they did everything together.
Right.
But Emily grew up.
Right.
And we, through song.
Through song.
Yeah.
Through Sarah McLachlan's song.
Yes.
Because kids love Sarah McLachlan.
It's like, it's sung by Sarah McLachlan, but you know it's a Randy Newman song.
Oh, it's
song.
A Randy Newman
it's
song.
It's totally a Randy Newman Randy song. Newman,
but it's sung by Sarah McLachlan.
Kids love Sarah McLachlan.
Kids love Sarah McLachlan.
Yeah, they do.
In the arms of... What was the girl's name?
Emily.
In the arms of Emily. Fly away. Come on.
Come on. That's how that song ends. And come like, on, people
and,
now.
And pets are like shivering. Oh. This is the most, because it slows it's everything really, down.
It does. It slows it way
slows
down.
Everything down because everything's like fast, 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 yeah. Fun, 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 eye visual. Then it turns into a cry fest with what's her face. And it's just, it's Sarah McLachlan.
Yeah. And I get like, you had like the montage, you, like strange look, things are happening in
this
the first
is the time,
one.
This is the part of the movie where I'm like, you are catering towards the Academy Awards. You're like,
yeah.
We want this to be nominated for a song.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I'm just like, ugh, okay.
And it's
it.
There's not like other songs in the movie. It's this.
Well, you got a friend to me, but that's just their theme song.
Yeah,
kind of. You know, Toy yeah. Story theme song. But yeah, yeah. It's not like this was a musical. It just pops up, and you're like, oh, this
it's
is
awkward.
Boring. But you said there's a theory behind.
Yeah. So like, okay. So the scene is beautiful. The music is.
It's a beautiful scene. Don't
get me wrong.
The music
is bizarre, but like the scene is beautiful. It's so you see this girl who is into cowboy stuff, who has her Jesse doll, and they play and they do whatever. They have these great days, but then you see where she ends up falling behind the bed, and we kind of see the girl growing up. She's painting her nails. She's hanging out with her girlfriends. She is talking on the telephone, mm-hmm. and Jesse's gathering dust under the bed.
Yeah.
And at one point, the girl finds her again, but when she does that, she puts her in a box and gives her to, like, the Goodwill kind of a thing.
Yeah.
To some charity. And so it's a sad moment, but there's a theory that Emily is actually Andy's mom.
Yeah.
Because she says... something like when Al is trying to buy Woody, she says something like, no, this has been in my family a long time. Or
yeah.
Something like that.
Yes.
And so she thinks that people think that Emily might be Andy's mom.
Yeah, but why not box up Woody too?
Maybe it's her brother's.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe he didn't do it.
Yeah.
Or it was.
But, you know, it was like. It's a nice theory. And don't get me wrong, like, I crapped upon the scene a little bit. Because it just felt so slow and
it
out
does.
Of it, but it is beautiful.
Yeah.
And, it, hey, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know.
And
there's
so,
nothing wrong by it,
yeah.
by any means. It just slows everything down.
Yeah. And so the Pete tells Woody, like, look, Andy's going to grow up eventually. And then when that
Stinky
happens.
Stinky Pete, right?
Stinky Pete, yeah.
Do you remember that show on Nickelodeon, Stinky Pete and Pete?
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Or Sneaky Pete on Amazon. So he says Andy's going to grow up. You know, this is.
Sneaky, not stinky.
Oh, there you go. He says this is what's going to happen. You know, or the kids will love you forever in this museum. And he's like, you know, without you, we get put back in the dark. And Woody goes, you know what? I'll stay. Let's go to Tokyo. So they're going to go together. Now, Buzz and the other toys have walked all the way to Al's toy barn. And there's a great scene of them crossing the street.
Right. It's a good scene. I loved it when I first saw it. Yeah. I thought, wow, this animation is... This is where I really got, like... Because I'm not a big animation person. You know that. You are more than me. But when I watched this, I went, wow, this animation is so good.
Yeah.
Wow, they really outdid themselves. And, you know, it holds up a little bit still.
Yeah.
It still does. But, like, we've advanced so much that...
Well, the cars look so much better in this one. Which, interestingly enough, then they took those models and kind of built on them.
Right.
And when they made cars... after that.
Right.
So, they're moving across the street and they are under these orange cones. And when cars come by, they go, you know, down, down, everybody down. So it looks like they're just traffic cones and they're trying to drive around them. The one that gets me, and I think the one that we were both like, oh my God, is there's a truck.
That truck.
With like this cement, like tunnel that it's like a big cement pipe that they're moving.
Yeah.
And
that got me in the movie theater.
Oh,
yeah. I just was like,
yeah. So they drop, and when it does it, the semi jams on the brakes, but the trailer part is swings around and goes like over them, goes like in a 360 and just kind of goes over them and finally stops. But then the momentum from all of that, the cement tunnel, like, breaks its chains and starts falling off and starts rolling. And, like, Mr. Potato Head is stuck. His foot is stuck in gum, and he's trying to pull it up and manages to get it up, and it just misses him.
Yeah.
And, like, it's a narrow miss. He doesn't even know how close he was. But, like, the whole scene is great. It's got great, like...
I think it's one of the best scenes as far as action is concerned.
Yeah.
Inside an animation movie.
Yeah. It's got great tension. It's got
up to this point.
Yeah.
I mean, there's stuff in the third movie that I think is even greater, but yeah.
Oh, God, right. And so, so they get to Al's toy barn, they get inside.
Start looking for Woody. They think Woody's there.
Yeah, so they're looking around. Rex finds a user guide when those used to be around for how to beat the Emperor Zurg in that game.
Yeah, this movie's a little dated.
Yeah.
A little bit.
They
VHS
go
tapes.
Yeah. They go to...
There's a big aisle of, like, Buzz...
Buzz Lightyear stuff. Yeah. He was popular. And they said that... It's actually funny. They say, well, in the 1 year... They didn't order enough of them, so after that they always kept tons of them around. Like, which happens, they don't order enough because they don't think something's going to be the big hit it's going to be, and everybody's in a rush. So Buzz finds a new model of Buzz Lightyear with a utility belt, so he's going to take the belt because he thinks, well, hey, you know, it'll be an upgrade for me. And when he does
and
that...
Tim Allen likes to accessorize, too.
He does. So when he does that... the Buzz Lightyear with the utility belt, we'll just call him Utility Buzz, wakes up and starts attacking. Of course, he's delusional, like Tim Allen. Like, I'm sorry, like Buzz was when they got him in the first movie. And so... He ends up fighting Buzz and locking him away in one of the Buzz Lightyear boxes. Meanwhile, the friends come around and they go, well, hey, look, he's not here, but he must be, like, across the street. And so they start to head out towards the, towards Al's apartment, and they take the wrong Buzz with them.
Yeah. Can I tell you, like, the whole sequence at the toy store seems ham-fisted to me.
Yeah, it's kind of...
It feels like it's like, we got to put this in here to fill time and to give Tim Allen at least a little something more to do.
Well, I think they wanted to...
Because he's not really doing a lot in this movie besides that.
I think they wanted to tell...
Which is a shame, because you kind of misused him in this movie.
They did. Yeah, they really did. And it kind of sounds like it. Like, his... In the first one, Tim Allen did a great job with, like, the voice acting.
Right.
And in this one, I don't get that as much. Like, he seems very, like, with how he delivers some of the lines. But it is. It's like, the story, to me, is really around Woody.
Yeah, it's a Woody story.
It's a really around, like, you know, being needed.
Which is a shame. And I'm not a big Tim Allen fan, but I think that Tim Allen has done wonderful work in family movies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That they really utilized him wrong in this movie.
Yeah.
To where that I think he's a decent actor when it comes to stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the Galaxy Quest. I mean,
Amazing.
Tim Allen is funny. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I might not agree with him politically, but he's funny. Go ahead.
So they head over to Al's house or Al's apartment, with the wrong Buzz. And the real Buzz finally busts out and is going to chase after them. So he comes out, and as he escapes, he knocks a bunch of stuff over onto the pressure pad to get it to open.
Mm-hmm.
One of those things is, an Emperor Zurg toy, which wakes up and is then hunting down Buzz also. Mm. So they get to the tower. The friends are basically climbing their way up. And inside, everybody is, you know, basically Woody's having fun with his new friends. They manage to get in there. So Utility Buzz... And the rest, they get in there. He is just crazy. Like, he's like, oh, I'll use my gravity field for stuff. Like, he's climbing the elevator shaft. They're holding on. He's just delusional. He thinks he can fly. He can't. But they end up getting in there. And they think that Woody is being eaten by the other toys. Well, it turns out they're not. They're like, okay, you know, we got to get out of here. And the real Buzz shows up at the same time, and it's like, all right, let's get out of here, Woody. And when they go, he's like, no, I'm staying here. Like, we're going to go to Tokyo. We're doing this and this. And they're like, but you're Andy's. And he says, you know, no, you know, we're not. And they finally convince him to go back to Andy because he loves him. And so Woody agrees. He starts to take off, and he invites Jesse and Bullseye along too. And they start leaving. Jesse and Bullseye agree. But when they start leaving, Pete screws the vent shut. And so he turns out Pete was the one, he was out of his box because he's been in mint in box this whole time. Turns out he's actually been out of his box. He was the one who turned on the TV to stop Woody before. And he was doing it now. He closed the vents so they couldn't get away. Well, he had spent years on a dime store shelf. Nobody bought him because he was kind of a peripheral character. And it was right at when, like,
He was voiced by Kelsey Grammer.
Right, because children want Kelsey Grammer voiced toys.
Yes.
You pull the string, and he's like, this is some fun.
You don't have your Niles. Fraser Crane action figure? Niles, we're late for the symphony. That's what happens when you pull a string.
Yeah. He just keeps asking for chopped salad and scrambled eggs.
Yeah, and he also gets divorced a lot.
Ooh.
And also then remarries people half his age. Anyway, go ahead.
They're trapped in there. They can't get the vent open again. And at that point, Al shows up and packs them all up and is taking them to the airport. He's taking them to the airport to take them to Japan. So the other friends go back. All of Andy's toys then try to get back onto the elevator to head him off at the pass. And when they do that, you see Emperor Zurg. The Emperor Zurg toy rides up. So then they have a battle with Emperor Zurg.
Yeah.
Or at least Buzz does. Rex knocks Zurg off the edge. And so he just falls down the elevator shaft. They do like a whole Luke, I am your father kind of thing.
Right. So there's Star Wars.
Yeah. There. And so.
You forgot to mention, at the toy store, there was also the Jurassic Park thing.
Oh, yeah.
And Wayne Knight was in Jurassic Park.
He was. So, yeah. That's true. Yeah. He. They're riding in the like little Barbie's dream car, yeah, getting a tour, and while they do that, Rex falls out and he's chasing back after the vehicle, and it says the objects in the mirror may be closer than they appear.
Yeah.
So they manage to get outside, and the friends are like, "Okay, we got to get out of here." Well, turns out Emperor Zurg and the Buzz Lightyear toy are playing catch because it's his father, and so that's how we get rid of them. So they take off in a Pizza Planet truck. Pizza Planet was the place from the first movie, and it has shown up in tons of these movies that have it has those little green squeaky aliens.
Yes.
So we get more.
Everyone loved.
Everybody loved them, and so we get. This is how we get them back in the movie. They're hanging up in that car. So the toys take the Pizza Planet truck and go and chase down Al and the Roundup gang. And so they head to the airport. And basically, they get there. They get onto the baggage, the baggage track, and are trying to get through the luggage to get them out of there. They find the suitcase. They start getting everybody out, and Stinky Pete rips Woody's arm a little bit, and he's like, "Oh, you know, you can be taken apart. I'll put you in pieces and take you to Japan if I have to." But they have this big showdown where they're fighting and kind of tussling on the thing. They're chasing down which suitcase it is. I mean, it's this big elaborate thing, which they kind of revisit in Monsters, Inc., where they have all the doors moving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They reuse some of that kind of action because I think it worked really well.
Yeah.
And they finally get free. They take Stinky Pete and they stick him in a little girl's backpack. And so he's got to stay put. And this Barbie doll goes, "You'll love Jessie. She's an artist." And her, like, her head turns. And, like, she's got, like, marker all over her face.
Right.
And, like, she's been a toy that's been played with pretty rough.
Yeah.
So they're all free. Jessie is still stuck in the box or stuck in the suitcase. And so Woody's trying to get her out of there. So he gets all the way. They get onto the plane. And he's like, "Okay, we're good. Let's get out of here." And the door shuts. And so you think, oh, nope, they're trapped. So
yeah, these are great action sequences.
They are. So they manage to see a little bit of light, and they realize it's the landing gear. So they climb down out of the landing gear, and Buzz rides up on Bullseye. They hop on the back, and they're saved. So the toys get home. Andy returns from camp, and he sees all these other toys, these new ones.
New toys!
Yeah, and he thinks it's great. There's new toys.
Mom doesn't question that at all.
No. No.
How do these new toys?
Yeah. You know.
I guess Andy's estranged father. I don't know. Where's his father in all these movies?
They never talk about that in any of the movies, him or his sisters.
Well, sort of. They say that Andy has a sister.
Well, no. They he has a sister, but they don't talk about, like,
not really.
Him and his, are they half siblings? Are they?
That's true, yeah.
Also, like, because when was he, I always wondered if it was, like, his father was in the Gulf War, maybe?
Oh, maybe.
It was kind of around that time?
Maybe.
I don't know.
It's a good question.
Basically, they all kind of live together. Everybody's doing well. There's this funny bit with where Jesse goes to save a toy, and she does this adventurous thing, and then buzzes, because Buzz is obviously crushing on her,
mm-hmm.
and she like does all this adventurous stuff, and then his wings pop out. An erection joke.
Hashtag me too, Tim Allen.
And so he, they said, look, you know, even if Andy does outgrow us, we'll be together. Like, we're friends, you know, we'll all be together.
To infinity and beyond.
There you go.
Which I feel like, come on. Like, because this is not a Buzz movie, it's a Woody movie.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you just tack that on because everyone knows that.
Yeah, pretty much.
So that's a little, I mean, go ahead. We'll talk about it more here in a moment.
And then, like, Wheezy, of course, his squeaker's fixed, and he sings us out.
Yes, he sings, like, he you got us a friend out. In yeah. me. Just like Randy Newman, sing it for us.
Oh, no, it's he croons it much better. Not like,
much better.
You got a friend in me.
Okay. It's a jungle out there. I told you, like, my theory that all Randy Newman songs are just the theme song to Monk. Anyway.
Sounds right.
That's what we thought of it. Let's hear what other people thought of it, shall we?
Yeah.
Bapper gave it a 9 out of 10. Says, Pixar is improving near perfect. I just saw Toy Story 2 an hour ago, and I must say that despite all the great reviews, I was still surprised about the quality. It started absolutely marvelous. One of the greatest and humorous opening sequences ever. The plot is really smart. The animation is brilliant. And the humor, oh man. The last 15 minutes must be the most fun 50, or I'm sorry, 50 minutes. The most fun 50 minutes I had in years. And believe me, I'm not extravagating. Yeah, you are. But anyway, it seems impossible to imagine the fun the writers must have had. Because this is a true film fest, whether you like Disney films or not. And that's true. You watch these movies and you're like, they must have fun doing these.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So this is another review. It is by LDB Movies. And they give it a 4 out of 10. And they say, I must be from another planet. It says, I must be from another planet, but I hated this movie. I don't really see what everyone is gushing about. I like the first one, and this one adds nothing to the theme. I saw no reason for the filmmakers to produce a sequel other than to make money. And this movie has no purpose or point. Yes, the animation is outstanding, but so was the animation in the first one. The only good point was the music video sequence of the cowgirl past performance to the beautiful Sarah McLachlan song.
Oh, God.
Otherwise, I didn't laugh out loud once. I was bored silly. I rated this movie 4 out of 10. My lowest rating ever on IMDb. In fact, the only movie I've seen that I rated lower is a movie called Beautiful Mystery. Don't ask. Take my advice. Don't waste your money on this overrated, meaningless sequel. So what did I do? I looked up Beautiful Mystery. Beautiful Mystery is described, it's from 1983. It's described as Shira Naho is a young bodybuilder who joins a paramilitary sect in northern Japan. His instructor, Takasawa, takes a liking to the new recruit. After an early special training session, the two develop a lasting and loving relationship. Beautiful Mystery was the first gay adult film to come out of Japan. Although tame for the U.S. standards, it's groundbreaking nonetheless. The guy gave it the same rating as a Japanese porno movie.
It's not a porno.
It's a softcore porn.
No, it's not.
But come on, right? Why is he comparing it to that? That's uncalled for.
I don't know. It's not a Japanese gay porn.
But isn't that weird?
No.
It's weird that he was like, the only other movie I gave a lower rating like he's putting a Japanese porno movie.
It's not
ranks.
A porno. Quit saying that. No. I mean, clearly that other guy is. LCD sound machine or whatever the hell his name was. I get what he's saying though.
Daft Punk is playing in my house.
I get what he's saying though, because it really doesn't necessarily add that much on it.
That's a little rough though for that the review.
I like though that it looks at themes of like, you know, he's growing older. What do you do? Like it's of loss. It's
right.
Of like, you know, kind of this midlife crisis kind of situation with Woody. Like, does he go and do these things?
It's not
as
sentimental as you would say the third movie. I think the third movie ups it
up,
and then we realize what we're watching
isn't
necessarily just a kid's movie. This is kind of, like I said, there's scenes that are kind of hand-fisted to make money and to sell products.
So
I mean, it's very obvious, but having said that, that doesn't mean that's not a 4 out of 10 movie.
No. So I'll say this. The first movie was for the kids. It was kids who were seeing toys come to life. It was really a lot for the children. The second movie, to me, is more geared towards
teenagers.
Parents.
Parents, yes.
I think it's the parents, because the parents went to go see these. And I think that there was a much bigger reaction amongst parents, where they were also enjoying this, and they're like, well, wait a minute, let's tell this story.
Yes.
Because now it's like, you have these people who are like, one day my kids are going to grow up, and they're going to leave, and they're not going to need me. As they grow up, they don't need me.
Yeah.
And you get these people who are kind of like, I think that kind of resonates with parents to a degree.
Yeah, and the third one just rips your heart out.
Well, the third one is for the same kids who watched it the first time, with them saying, now you've grown up, here's whatever. So it's like, it was for the kids, then their parents, and then it was for the kids who are probably now parents.
Sure.
I
get what you're saying.
Yeah. I think it's like, they have different audiences.
Mm-hmm.
But no, so I see what they're saying. Like, it didn't add, like, to the world in a grandiose way, but it visited some themes that I think were important.
It brought in some other characters, but it didn't really add.
Yeah,
like,
it visited some important themes, and also I think it kind of expanded on the world of, like, we know a lot about Buzz, but we don't know anything about Woody.
If you don't have this movie, I think the third movie almost is too much of a jump from the first movie.
Yeah.
Thematically wise to the third movie.
I would agree.
You have to kind of have this bumper in between.
Yeah, I would
agree. Does that make sense? All right. Shall we do our 5 questions?
Yeah, let's do them. So what was your favorite part of this movie?
Here's what I'm going to say, okay? Look, Tom Hanks is always wonderful.
Yeah.
He would be an obvious choice as far as the best part of this movie. Tim Allen is not used correctly in this movie, I don't believe, like I said before. Although he's very, very good in these movies.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed, actually, Kelsey Grammer as a villain. I actually thought, like, he could play a really good villain.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my favorite thing. Out of all the favorite things is the whole thing that we were talking about, the whole fact that the importance of this movie as far as technology-wise and how it brought forth the more detailedness of, like, the roads and the carpet and the hair. Like, it just, that's my favorite part of this movie.
Yep.
It still is eye candy in a way, and the action is actually, I think the action and the road scene where they're crossing the street is my favorite thing. It always is my favorite thing in this movie.
Yeah. I will say my favorite part, well, and it's pretty expansive, it's pretty broad, is the world they build around Woody.
Yeah.
Because...
You mean like the whole Roundup gang?
Yeah. Because I was like, oh, neat, he's like an old toy. But then to me, where they kind of, I want to know more, is like, okay, so if he's a toy that's been around since, like, God knows, since, you know, the 60s... Where is, you know, how does he, doesn't he know, like, hey, I'm a 30-year-old toy. Like, I've seen all these people. Or, like, wouldn't he know more historically about what's going on? Or so I'm, like, I'm intrigued. Like, is there more of a background story there that, like, it opens up this background story more that I wanted to know more about, but that we don't get into?
Yeah.
So I love that, but simultaneously I'm like, ugh, now I want to know more.
Yeah.
But I love that you see this world, and it kind of expands on it, because we get so much Buzz Lightyear. They were so shoving that in our face. And, like, Buzz Lightyear had animated series that came out and all these other things out. Those toys, when they put out Toy Story toys, like, a lot of them were like, it's Buzz Lightyear. And then here's Woody with Buzz Lightyear armor, or, like, Woody with, like, cyber or whatever, because it's easier to market the space toys than it is the Western toys at the time. And so, like, it was just kind of like, ugh, I get it, Buzz Lightyear, Jesus. And so it was cool to see the, like, the Woody's Roundup thing and be like, neat, like, there's this history. And I will say, out of that, something I never thought about till this time, but I think appreciated more on this viewing, was the villain, Stinky Pete.
Yeah.
Because before I was just like, ooh, Stinky Pete. But I look at it and I'm like, Stinky Pete to me, it's like, yeah, he's the villain of the piece, but he's not really a villain.
No, he thinks what he's doing is right.
Yeah.
Do you know
and,
what I mean?
And really, he's, in a way, he's correct. He's saying, you know, we're gonna be in the same boat.
We're going to die someday.
And he's afraid of, like,
not we're gonna die, but the interests of
And so wane. And, like, he has the whole where he talks about, you know, I was trapped on this dime store shelf. Like, he doesn't know. Like, he's never had the love. He's never whatever. And he's a very flawed, tragic kind of character.
Right.
And it comes out really well. And I think with Kelsey Grammer voicing it, you get that. You get a good sense of the pain to the voice and the kind of, like, depth to it.
Agreed. I've always loved Kelsey Grammer's voice.
Yeah.
And it lends itself to this.
Yeah.
Very well.
And, like, and before I was just like, oh, Stinky Pete, whatever. But, like, this time when I watched it, I was really trying to, like, think about, like, his motivations.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy that character a lot, because he's like your Dr. Octopus in Spider-Man 2, with like, played by Alfred Molina. He's not over-the-top crazy like Sid was in the first one. He's this, like, somebody you can almost, empathize
Can
with.
Can I go back to the fact that how we get Stinky Pete is the fact that we have Wayne Knight's character, and we have Wayne Knight's character who is a collector. And so you have this whole role of a collector up on screen way before geek culture was even popular.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because nowadays you would just have, like, well, I have to get this collection. I got to have four of these and six of these.
And, of course, the collector is, like, fat, gross guy.
Yeah, but at least we saw that on screen. And, you know, it was something that we didn't, you know, it wasn't in the vein of pop culture at the time, you know, with Geek is Chic.
And, I think about, like, in the next movie with Lotso, the like, basically Care Bear doll, who is, like, this, like, totalitarian leader. Like,
he's true.
To me, I'm like, yeah, you were just a straight up villain.
Yeah.
Like, I don't empathize with him as much. But I do with Stinky Pete. Like, I get, like, I'm like, oh, that's heart crushing.
Second question?
Reboot, continue, or cancel?
Okay, I'm going to actually, can I change this question a little bit? Because obviously they rebooted, or not rebooted.
Continued.
They continued it.
Yeah.
They're making sequels of it. They've made TV shows of it. They've made, we all have that covered Toy Story. But they're making a Toy Story 4. Do you think it's too late? Do you think the interest of Toy Story 4 or Toy Story itself has waned off? Because the kids that have grown up and since the first one are all, you know, on a different level nowadays. Do you think the interest isn't there?
I think
the nostalgia aspect is.
Honestly, I think that the story of Woody and Buzz and, like, Andy's toys has ended. Like, after the third one.
Yeah.
That just ended there. Like, it's so
to me.
It's so beautiful. Like, I'm sorry if you didn't at least get a little misty-eyed at the third one, you are a heartless monster. Whatever, you did too. We all did. You're a scaly, heartless monster. And so...
I am?
No. Oh. If you didn't tear up at least a little bit.
I don't see feel, where you would go with this.
Yeah. I don't so like the if the fourth one, if it started over on a new, like, if it was like instead of Toy Story 4, it was like Toy Story.
Oh, but you know something. They're not going to. Yeah.
Right. But if it was like that. If it was a new one, if it was like a different kid,
yeah,
with new toys, maybe I could be like, okay, and maybe
I could get more excited about that than like the, you know what I mean. But people love nostalgia too much that yeah. they're it's gonna be. I mean,
and you
on.
Could keep Rex, make Rex the Screech of this new class.
You're comparing this to Saved by the Bell, the new class.
That's basically what it is.
Okay, no, but that's what I mean. I'm like, I think that question in this movie
I don't think there should
think
be a four.
Too, you don't think there should be four. I don't think there should be four either.
They'll have to do something really interesting
to knock that out of the park.
The third one is already like the whole third one. You're just like, oh no, because it's just like, I mean, it's one thing after another. But even at the very beginning, because I was thinking of like. So Annie Potts, who plays Bo Peep.
You're a pothead.
I am a pothead. I love Annie Potts. We call ourselves potheads. Her fans do.
No, you don't. You just do.
So I was excited to see her in the third one, but she's not in it. There's a bunch of toys missing from it. Like, obviously, they didn't have Jim Varney.
Yeah.
They didn't have... I can't remember. There's a bunch of other ones they don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, what the heck? Well, they talk about over time, some of them have gone to yard sales. Some of them have been given away, some of whatever. And he's down to this like core group of toys that he is not parting ways with. And you're kind of like, Jesus, like when you think about it, it's already too late. Like mm-hmm. you're at the end of the road.
Yeah.
There's no bringing him back
yeah,
from
just
anything.
Just like Boys to Men say, end of the road.
Yes, yeah. Just like.
So let's, what's question three?
Question the third.
Three.
So does this movie stand on its own?
I actually say yes.
You think it does?
For the most part. There are some things that you might not get, but like if you're just watching this, look, I haven't seen the first one in for so long.
Yeah.
I mean... You would have to maybe know the history of Buzz a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think it does.
The parts with... So, if you know how we were talking about the parts that were, like, kind of crunched in there?
Yeah.
That stuff doesn't stand on its own.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of, like, was this what I was like? Or, yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember I did this.
I mean, there's parts of it that do and
that
parts
leans
of it that
on
don't.
It.
But I can't...
But the
I
Woody
can't
stuff?
Specifically say the whole movie does or doesn't.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This one's a hard one.
Yeah, that is. It's kind of, it's weird. Like, usually it's pretty cut or dry
yeah,
one way or the
cut
other.
Dry, but this one is.
But like this one is kind of like right in the middle.
That's weird to say that, but yeah. Yeah. It is. Go ahead.
Does this make you want to watch the first one?
Yes.
Me too.
Yeah.
More so, makes me want to watch the third one.
Makes me want to watch all three of them.
Yeah.
Back to back to back.
Yeah.
Back to back.
Just like Boys to Men say?
Yeah.
No?
Yes, that... back to back, yeah.
Side
to side, to side
to side to side.
Because they're so fun, and they're the thing that started Pixar in a way, like not started it, but like catapulted it into a new direction.
Yeah,
and made it more of mainstream than what you know what I mean. So it's fun to honor those movies in that way, and it's fun to just watch them.
Yeah,
to see that grow. But again, I don't want to watch a fourth one. I know yeah. that sounds weird, but, you know.
Two words.
You go first.
Kung Fu Grip.
Is that three words? Kung Fu
hyphenated?
Kung Fu hyphenated?
I'm claiming it's hyphenated. Come on. give it to me. Come on. So, I say that because this movie, like, it knows what works, I think, and it grabs on to that and like it has a death grip on it. Like it
yeah.
it knows what is going to get kids interested. It knows what's going to get the parents interested. It knows what it needs to do with a lot of it. And they have a Kung Fu grip on our hearts, really, with which they do more in the, like, they, more than anything, Pixar has mastered the ability to take your heart and just rip it out of your chest.
Yeah, I mean, that's,
give it a little smooch and put it right
do.
Back.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. Mine is Growing Pains. I mean, I don't mean the television show Growing Pains.
Thank God.
But, I mean, the fact that this isn't, this is actually, you can tell they're going to make a third movie when you watch this. You can tell that they're probably going to continue this story.
Yeah.
But to me, this isn't as good as the first one, and it's definitely not as good as the third one, but it is important to have this, like I told you, the second one in there. But I think as much as the characters are growing themselves, I think the Pixar people who are working on it are growing too as well. And they're going, what can we do? How can we do things differently?
Yeah.
And so I think that that's my two words, growing pains.
Well, and you can tell, like, through later things, like each movie they try something. So Monsters, Inc. was their next movie. And that movie is fantastic with, like, textures, perspective, size, even their people. Like, think of Boo from Monsters, Inc. The cute little girl, she's really the only human, but she looks fantastic compared to what we see in this movie. Mm-hmm. So, like, they take these great leaps, but we wouldn't have the people who look so, like, oh, wow, that's great, you know, without moving forward on that.
Yeah. I just think the humor is still being worked on. I think the animation is still being worked on.
Yeah.
I think even the story itself is still being worked on in this movie.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't for this movie, I don't think the impact of the third movie would be quite a rip of the heart and be so submitted into the history books of, because I think that third movie is quintessential Pixar.
Oh yeah. Well, okay, so these ones are heart-wrenching. Finding Nemo, Incredibles, you get more. Ratatouille, you get a lot more, but, like, you start getting into WALL-E, Up, Toy Story, so it's Up, Toy Story 3, and then Cars 2, Brave, which, I went and saw it, with a couple of, women friends of mine, and it played, and I was like, at one point, I looked over, and they were just bawling during Brave, because there's a lot of, like, mother-daughter themes in it, you know, in Monsters University, Inside Out.
Didn't cry at all in that movie.
Didn't at all?
Nope.
Okay.
Screw you, Bing Bong.
The whole audience was crying.
Yeah, you just hear...
Yeah. And I know you haven't seen this one, but The Good Dinosaur. I mean, like, there's all these movies.
Right. So speaking of movies, what movie are we doing next, Jeremy?
So next up is Cars 2.
Cars 2.
Now, you haven't seen Cars 1.
Here in my car.
Correct. We are listening to Cars. We are watching Cars.
Cars 2. I have not seen Cars 1. Like I said, I'm not like you. Obviously, people will listen to these episodes and they'll hear the passion you have for animation in your voice, because you love animation more than me. Me, just kind of like, but it's not that, like, it's cheapened for me, because it's voiceover work, because you've made me understand that voiceover work is still acting.
Yeah.
And some people don't believe that.
Yeah.
I just find my preference of movies seem to be more related to more live.
And I'll tell you why I like animation so much.
Right.
Because animation for the longest time took us to worlds that we couldn't achieve, just like with film. So, like, you think about, I go back and look at, there were Superman serials, like serial movies where when Superman...
Oh, I thought they meant like cereal, like eating, like Oreos.
Yeah. When Superman would go to fly away, it would transition from the guy jumping into animation, because he couldn't fly, obviously. So they used animation to fill in the gaps. We saw things with, like, you know, goofy rabbits dropping anvils on each other's heads and doing, you know, like, I mean, you see all these things in animation that it's like, wow, that's so cool. And now we're to this point where we are really blurring the line so much between what's animation and like real life.
We are with like the Andy Serkis like stuff and like the, you know, like what can we do with mocap and stuff like that.
Yeah. And so we're at this very interesting time, but it's like, to me, animation, when our dreams were too big to do it with film, then we filled in the gaps with animation.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why I have a passion for that.
There you go. Now I'm going to say something rude because you said something wonderful. And that's usually how it works.
That is how,
how it works on the
and
show.
And I just make fart noises. And
then I just make fart noises with my hand when you do that. All right. Where can people find us, Jeremy?
So people can find us in numerous places. So you can find us at the...
Okay.
At
okay.
thedeucepodcast.podbean.com.
High and lowbrow, just like...
thedeucepodcast.podbean.com.
Sure.
You can like us on there. You can find us at iTunes. Please make sure that you rate us there.
Rate us. We got some good ratings.
We have gotten some good ratings lately. So, thank you for those. Keep that up. We appreciate
it. Keep up the rating.
You can find us at Stitcher, Google Play. Also, at No Phony Podcast Network. So, on our page there. So, nophonynetwork.com. You can like us there. There's a little heart if you go over our show's page.
Give us a heart on.
So you can find us there. It links to all of our other stuff. Plus, the added bonus of going there to look at it, you have all these other great shows that you can check
out. Yeah, that you can also give hearts on.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely make sure that you go check that page out. Check our page out. Check it all out. So
check it out, y'all.
Yes. So next up, we'll have Cars 2.
Uh-huh.
Followed by...
maybe, possibly.
I think Incredibles. We go in order.
Okay. Well, so, whatever. We'll figure it out.
We also have a Finding Dory coming up as well.
Oh, Finding Dory. Well, remember, folks, the sequel is king.
Here every day. Woody's Roundup, come on, it's time to play. There's Jessie the yodeling cowgirl. Bullseye, he's Woody's horse.
He's a smart one.
Pete the old prospector, and Woody the man himself. Of course, it's time for Woody's Roundup. He's the very best. He's the rootinest, tootinest cowboy in the wild, wild west. Cowboy around.